something that's very interesting. One time we had gone to Maurice Schwartz's home. It was a very special evening because that's the evening that he introduced his two adopted children. He had adopted a boy and a girl that were sister and brother from France. And they made a big, he and his wife, I guess Mrs. Schwartz, had a big party to introduce their adopted children to everybody. I was there with my parents.
And Maurice Schwartz obviously lived in Manhattan. Did he live in the Lower East Side?
I don't remember. That I don't remember, but I remember going to their home. And when we moved out here to California, my parents also had a lot of people coming to their home. My mother used to entertain a lot.
Do you remember any other anecdotes?
I told you about the Yiddish, about the Second Avenue Theater with the actors. I told you about Molly Picon's home. I told you about Schwartz's special evening when he adopted the two children.
Did you like going to Yiddish plays? You didn't really understand it that well.
Oh, I understand it perfectly.
How often did you go to a Yiddish play in New York?
Whenever Abba said, let's go, and I would go with him. Oh, yeah. No, I understand the language perfectly.
So when they went to see a show, they always generally invited you? And
most of the time, or if they had something else to do afterwards, I didn't want to be a nookslep with them, you know.
How often did they go to the Yiddish theater?
Quite often, especially if some of Abba's friends were acting.
Did they have any particular actors or actresses they liked the best?
I think one of the favorites must have been Maurice Schwartz with his dramatic plays. And, of course, Lebedev. They liked Lebedev. Abba liked Lebedev a lot.
How about Mom?
I think, I guess so.
So your father, I suppose, he liked more of he liked the dramatic, the better quality Yiddish shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he have any, how did he feel about Yiddish theater?
He loved it. That's what he loved.
Was he critical about certain types of Yiddish theater, or?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that. Anything else about life in New York?
No, I guess that's it.
The question I had was this. So whoever this person was that invited your parents to come to Los Angeles to do the radio program, and in other words, you went straight to Los Angeles, you didn't come back to New York, you just moved there and that was it.
Yeah, when they decided to come out, they moved over here, bag and baggage, and that was it.
So you obviously didn't buy a house right away, you lived in an apartment.
When we first came out from New York, we lived in Santa Monica for a few months at the Kensington Hotel.
Why in Santa Monica?
I don't know. I don't know why in Santa Monica.
So Abba just paid the rent, and that was it?
Yeah, maybe somebody told him, come to Santa Monica. He didn't know from Borscht.
Right, right.
No.
So in other words, Mom wasn't acting at that time. When did she first start acting? Did she act at all when she was in New York?
No, not in New York.
But eventually in Los Angeles?
Yes.
But not right away. So the guy wanted them to do a radio program, yet the studio was built in the back of your house in Fairfax, but you went from Santa Monica where? Did you go to the house?
Well,
my house then?
From Santa Monica, from the Kensington Hotel. Then they bought a beautiful home in L.A. in the Fairfax area. The address was 825 South Orange Grove Avenue.
And that was the house they lived in until?
That's what the house they lived in. That's where I got married. We had a garden wedding.
And you got married what year?
In 1951.
Okay, so in other words, they only lived outside of your home for a few months, and then they bought the home.
Right.
So.
And then they sold that home, and they moved to Drexel Avenue.
What year?
That had to be, let's see, when Ron was born, so that had to be around 1955, they moved to that home where they had the studio in the back.
Between the time they moved out of Santa Monica to the first home and the time you got the second home, obviously they had no recording studio, so the radio program started in 1949, so...
They used to go to the radio station, and one radio station was in Santa Monica. It was KOWL. And maybe that's why we lived over there for a while.
So initially, it was only being broadcast on one radio station.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was being broadcast out of KOWL, and at some point, whatever point that was, and that was in 1949?
Yes.
And then at some point, and then you moved to your home and you built a recording studio. Then at some point you started recording out of the studio. Do you remember the year of the first recording out of the studio in your second home?
You know, KOWL was owned by Gene Autry, and he sold it, and then at that time my folks changed to go to another station, KALI. That probably was in the 50s sometime. I don't remember the year.
So all those recordings I have are from the second home, from the recording studio, obviously, not from the...
Yeah.
So whoever brought them over, could they have been from KOWL?
I don't know.
Oh, so in other words, once you moved into that second home, how did it come about where Abba decided to build a studio in the back of
house? Well, it was easier for them to do it instead of traveling. He never learned how to drive. My mother learned how to drive, and she drove him around. And maybe that's why, you know, make it more comfortable. Why not?
Whoever brought him over, he was here already. So when he got his next radio program with the next station, that had nothing to do with the person that brought him over to the States.
No. After that person, I think that was short-lived, and they had not, you know, that was it.
But the first radio program with KWL was a Yiddish radio hour.
Oh, yeah.
And the second radio, and the radio program he had when he moved to Fairfax, the second home, that was his own. How did he finance that, or who built the studio? Did he have to pay the expenses of the program? Did he make any money from it, et cetera?
No, they had sponsors. They had sponsors. They had several sponsors. They had Great Western Savings and Loan Association, the bank, and then they had Tassett Brothers, who were a big, big appliance store. And so after that, they got other sponsors.
Who paid for the recording studio?
I guess they did.
So basically, we didn't drive. So it was easy just to do it from there. So it took them however many months to build the recording studio. And at some point, and they had lined up the sponsors.
Yeah.
And they had the station, and they started broadcasting.
Yeah.
How did your mother feel about being part of a radio program?
She loved it. So she was wonderful. She was a very pretty woman. She was 11 years younger than Abba, and she was just stunning. And like I say, very intelligent. She spoke 7 languages and read, and she read them, not only speaking. And she was wonderful.
So who was the brains, or who was the pusher for the radio program?
I think both of them.
So they were both pretty enthused about getting the word out, the Yiddish word out. Was it the Yiddish language? Was it Yiddish theater? Was it culture?
It was a cultural thing. It was all that you have, just the language, the theater, the culture. There's a big club. What is that club called? The Yiddish and Kultur Club on 3rd Street, where Mother was invited many times to do a reading of a poetry, or Abba would give a lecture. Everything was just involved with the Yiddish guy.
So I guess back then there's no way of knowing how many people they had listened to them.
Oh, they had quite a few.
How far out could people hear the radio program? What was
the range? They heard it in Los Angeles. It went quite a ways. I would say that they had a listeners, maybe 50,000 or more. Absolutely. Everybody knew about the Yiddish radio program, Yiddish Stunde.
They say Yiddish radio hour, but it wasn't always an hour. Sometimes it was a half hour.
Later on, I guess when things changed a little bit, they went to half an hour.
Didn't they have a half hour during the weekday and maybe an hour on the weekend?
They had an... No, I think they had an hour on the weekend. Yeah.
So who got the people for the program? How did they decide what to put on the radio program? Do you know anything about that?
Well, no, I don't know anything about that. I guess they had, they had different guests, as you can tell from the programs that I sent you. Everybody that came from anywhere always called the Zilbert Zweig.
So when they were in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Los Angeles.
So I guess that was good publicity for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So whoever came, all the actors that came, they knew how to get my parents, and, absolutely.
Were there rehearsals, or...?
What, for the
radio program?
No, I don't think so, no.
So it seems to me that they recorded certain events, whether it be at a day school or at a banquet or whatever, and then he put on a segment from that on his radio program. So I maybe spliced in different segment, because most of the program, most of the people he had on this program, did they come to the studio, or was it mostly clips?
No. They came. They came to the house. They came to the studio, absolutely. Yes. It was a very busy life. Very busy.
So he never had any regrets. He liked doing it very much.
No regrets.
But obviously he did this, and at the same time he was working on the Lexicon.
Sure.